Today's Jesus story feels more like a track meet than anything else. Lots and lots of running. There's this great poem that imagines the beloved disciple as he and Peter run towards the tomb. I run with Simon Peter to the tomb, feel as a dream the racing wind go by, the muttered doubts, the chilling blight of gloom, and still there rings within my ears a cry, born of a whisper that the women made, the place is empty where our Lord was laid. Was not his death upon a cross enough? The gaping crowds that waited on the crest, the sneering, mocking soldiers in their rough and hooting blasphemy, can he not rest? Can he not sleep, forget the world of men? What mean these strange and idle tales then? O heart that labors, if I could but place my head upon his bosom and see his face. And even if that beloved disciple had wanted to rest his head upon Jesus' three-day dead bosom, it would have been impossible. He bent down and he looked in. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. But of course, impulsive Peter fumbles forward into that dimly lit space. He touches the cloths that had covered Jesus' body, and then he sees this neatly folded cloth that had been on Jesus' head. And now John's with him in that cramped space, and they're both on their hands and knees, frustrated and distressed. "We've got to tell the others," cries out Peter, not really knowing what to say. And so they run. They run. But Mary stands, and she weeps. Imagine Mary. She's exhausted. She's heartbroken, perhaps falling to her knees and crawling towards that tomb, heaving sighs of grief, longing to feel the touch of her friend or hear his voice again. And then this flash of light shoots out of the tomb. How could the sun shine so brightly, so quickly? It's not sunlight. It's messengers, these angels, these ones that maybe Peter talked of on Prayer Mountain a few weeks ago. One of the messengers speaks to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She musters all her energy and shouts out, "They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him." Again, another flash of light, now blazing behind her. She turns and sees a man. And for a second, it seems like his face shines like the sun. And like the other messengers, his clothes seem dazzling white. Are her tear-swollen eyes playing tricks on her? Is it a third angel? On closer inspection, she sees there's dust and dirt on his face. He asks her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Imagine you're this woman, feisty, maybe frustrated, and saying, "Don't these men get it?" But the man's voice is so genuine and so compassionate. She figures he's some poor soul who got the early gardener shift. She takes a deep breath. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." Who knows what she was thinking, how she is going to drag Jesus' body where, or what she's going to do with him. But it didn't matter, for the next word from the groundskeeper feels like a fresh wind. Jesus breathes on her and says, "Mary." She jumps to her feet, leaps into his arms, cries out, "Beloved Master!" Mary clings to Jesus. Weeping, shaking, trying to slow her breathing, overjoyed with relief, wonder. And then in a puzzling but heartfelt manner, Jesus says to Mary, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary looks into Jesus' eyes with shock, amazement, but she knows this isn't the time to argue or resist the request of her dear teacher. Jesus has said, go, and she will go in peace. And so we see Mary lets go. If we place ourselves alongside Mary in the midst of this track and field meet or this roller coaster of emotions, what would we do? The great heartwarming news of today's resurrected Jesus story is that Jesus calls every one of us by name. He names Mary in this moment of intimacy, devotion, and care. And so the good news for each of us who comes to worship here in the house of the Lord on Easter Sunday 2014 is that Jesus too calls you by name. Your name, Tanya, Sandy, I'll pick on my sister, Rochelle, John, Wally, Joyce, insert your name there. Jesus calling you by name. It's not shaming. It's not guilt-inducing. It's not, why don't you try harder? It's simply your name. Beloved son, beloved daughter, beloved child. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. So we can bask in that beauty of being named. But then as we push on in the story, Jesus lobs out another cosmic Jesus command. And we shouldn't be surprised because Jesus has been talking past his conversation partners for 19 chapters in the Gospel of John. And so he says to Mary, do not hold on to me. Jesus, what? And so I guess it's just a great reminder that the gospel stories are not Disney fairy tales. We don't see the lights fading and that whatever favorite Disney tune playing. Whatever it is in your mind. Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Jesus and Mary, resurrection peace, live a life of ease, Mary and the Jesus resurrected or something like that. It's not like that. That's not the gospel, sorry to say. On this Easter Sunday, Jesus calls us by name. Yes, that's good news. But the equally good news of today's resurrection story is that it doesn't end there. Instead, the story lives on. We're not urged to keep this good news to ourselves in a holy huddle. And like Mary, we're told to let go. And so we follow Mary. Mary went. Mary announced. Mary told, and when she was asked, what's the big news? It echoes what we've heard and seen throughout the Gospel of John. Come, come and see. Specifically for Mary, she declares, I have seen the Lord. And she becomes the first apostle of all the apostles. This unqualified, uneducated, unspectacular woman, whom seven demons had been exorcised from her. She had a reputation. This ordinary woman becomes the first apostle, the first proclaimer, the first witness of the risen Lord. And so there's room for us. Do you ever feel unqualified? Do you ever feel unworthy? Do you ever feel unspectacular? Yeah? Well, then you'd be a great apostle, apparently. Isn't that great news? So let's run with Mary. In this 50-day season of Easter, God's not waiting for us to get our act together. He's not waiting for us to completely understand. God's not waiting for us to have the perfect argument of why Jesus is risen and how can we prove it. Instead, we're beckoned to follow Mary, to run with her. And so may our living Jesus, this gardener who was and is to come, enable us, inspire us, empower us to declare, however boldly or however humbly, however strongly or weakly we can do it, I've seen the Lord. In this season of Easter, you're going to hear us use this word, practicing resurrection. And we saw it last week when Pastor Jeremy talked about that Wendell Berry poem, Practice Resurrection. And in your bulletin, you have this excerpt from a piece called Garden that talks about resurrection. We're not going to go through that, of course, but there's lots of great thoughts in that piece about resurrection. And just in the closing part, I will read it. It says, so for those who think, what? Come on, how far-fetched is that? Try it. Try living in this story. Try trusting that all those little glimpses and glances of hope and beauty and truth and light, that they weren't aberrations. They weren't mistakes. They weren't some blip in the system. They were actually showing you what it's really like. That this new life is as close as the breath you just took and the breath you're about to take. So, friends of Jesus, breathe. Breathe in. Breathe out. Love. Believe. Practice resurrection. Encounter the living Christ anew in this 50-day season of Easter. And so it begins for us. I was going to get a track meet gun, but I thought it might be too violent, and Jesus is always into the way of nonviolence. So I'll say, on your marks, get set!